This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
I hit it hard, man. So far, man. No laying
good stuff.
No holding back.
John and Charlie in Houston, man. And we got a show for you. What? Masters, Charlie. You got your Masters shirt on. I got my Astros shirt on.
I'm still
celebrating last week here at Memorial.
How about that tournament, John?
It was really nice.
Our city golf course is magnificent. Yeah. It's only going to get nothing but better. You know, think good things are coming, but Masters week, there's nothing but...
No. It you can tell. I mean, this is the one event, Charlie, that I've watched, and I don't know if you agree with it, but it is really strange without patrons.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah.
All the other ones, I'm like, yeah. It didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
This one, because you know how 8 deep they are everywhere.
And the roars.
And the roars, and there's no roars, and there's no... And you're seeing things like behind the 16 tee that you never see.
That's right.
The stands are there, and the people are standing there, and then there's the tent, the beer tent where I'm always in. It's so strange to be seeing some of the sights that you're seeing this week.
Yes, it's. Remember when you asked me what kind of course Redstone was going to be? I said it's wooden, but it's open.
Yeah, right, wooden but open. Yeah, trees. There's a lot of trees, but it's open. What?
See?
Yeah, that's Augusta National. It's wide open because like when you're looking at 9 and you know that whole walkway is open to 1.
Yeah,
and it's like my goodness, it just looks like a different place.
But it's a heck of a tournament.
Yeah, I know. Huh? It is. It really, really, really is.
I can't wait to tell you what my pick's going to be.
Oh, I know. You said you got a surprise for us. You got a surprise for us. So that'll be a lot of fun. We got a lot to talk about here. Tiger is in it, so that's good. He's 5 right now.
That's it.
That's awesome. DeChambeau is not.
No, he's going for the fences. And Augusta's different than Wingfoot. But he's overdone it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's still fun to watch.
He's still going to, you know what, he might figure it out. We'll see. Even par, they just shot down to even par being the cut now because it was -1, and now it's even. It's 50 and ties, and right now there are 60 guys at even par, and that's going to be the cut. So we got a lot to talk about. Billy Harmon joins us on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, bringing in our good friend Billy Harmon, who is in his palatial estate watching, as we speak, watching Paul Casey just totally mess up 18. And fall from near the top of the leaderboard. Bill, what's going on?
Well, I'm doing exactly what you said, John. I've been watching. Woke up at 4 this morning so I could make sure I've been watching. And it's turning into a heck of an event, isn't it? I know it doesn't feel like the Masters and all that stuff, but the golf certainly feels like the Masters. And I don't think I've ever seen a more packed leaderboard almost at any tournament. More or less a major tournament. So, fantastic event and Philly shaping up for an incredible weekend.
Yeah, it really is. We got some great names at the top, Bill. We started the show and I said to Charlie, I said, I hadn't noticed no fans before, but here it is so noticeable that there are no fans there because, you know, they line 16 and they're behind the golfers there and the tent is there and the the stands are there, and it's just so strange to be seeing these guys tee it up with nobody and nothing there behind them. I mean, of all the tournaments, this is the one that I've noticed most. I don't know about you. You feel the same way?
Yeah, well, I think that we're so used to seeing the bleachers behind the 12th tee, which seemed to hold about 5,000 people. And then there's no bleachers left to the 15th hole, so they walk off the 15th green, and there's the tee, and then there's no people to the left of 16 green, like you said, John. But I will say the telecast, they've had some, what you're doing right now, some great aerial shots of the property, which we haven't ever seen before. And so I think the telecast has been interesting because it appears as though they don't have the same amount of spotters and things like that. They're not getting all the yardages, so the announcers are working overtime, it seems like. But the quality of play has really been something. And I think the big surprise all week, to some extent, has been DeChambeau, although I'm not one of these guys, and I've said it a million times on this show, you know, all of a sudden he plays good a couple of tournaments, now he's going to play great every week. And the game is too hard, and the downside, as Charlie knows, of the amount of clubhead speed he has, if he starts hitting it offline, it's going to go way offline, and he's really hit some errant tee shots this week, and he's right on the cut line, probably going to make the cut, but doesn't appear to be a factor until, unless he shoots 62 or 3 this afternoon.
Well, my first take on this year's Masters in November is, and I'm not surprised, but how well the golf course has come back from really Wednesday and Thursday, so much rain, and they've almost got it into prime playing conditions, Bill, and we're going to say
yes, they do.
Going to be a great weekend. But speaking about an errant drive, and I don't know what the heck happened to Rory McIlroy the first round.
Oh, my goodness.
But that drive he hit on 13 was just mind-boggling poor for such a great player. I mean, is it just too much pressure for the Grand Slam for him, or what's going on?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know what, only five people or so won the Grand Slam, so it's certainly not an easy thing to do, that's for sure. But I think everybody kind of assumed that he would win the Grand Slam because, Charlie, as you know, Augusta on paper would appear to be a course that was made for Rory McIlroy from tee to green. As great players go, I've always thought he was a suspect putter for someone of his ilk. And I've also said on this show on occasion that, you know, I think he's had six putting coaches by the time he was 30 years old. And I just don't ever recall a great, great player having that many, that much input on just putting alone. So, but I don't think he's out of it. I think he's one of those guys that can shoot 64 or 5 today and maybe get in the fray. So I would think his mindset is, can I get within two or three getting to the 10th tee on Sunday? So I would think he's thinking about the next 27 holes and then to see if he can get to the fray and have some fireworks happen on the back nine Sunday.
Andy Ogletree is just walking off 17 at 2 under. He's playing with Shane Lowry and Tiger Woods. When he was in third grade, did you hear that story?
No.
Okay. When he was, I believe he was in third grade, and he wrote a letter, or he wrote a piece for his class that said he wants to be a great golfer and he wants to play with Tiger Woods. And he's playing the first two rounds with Tiger Woods, and he's 2 under. So is Lowry, and Tiger's at 5. So all of them playing really, really well. What an experience for a young guy, huh?
Wonderful. I mean, those are, you know, dreams come true, and the game's getting younger with the younger, you know, guys coming out of college so well prepared, which he has proved to be a great player. So it'll be interesting to see what he does on the weekend. Or this afternoon, really.
Right. I mean, well, yeah,
the weekend is here.
Won't be long before he's teeing it up again. These guys are all going to have to. And like, look, DeChambeau is going to have a turnaround, quick, really quick turnaround. He's, you know, finishing up, and now he's going to have to get out there in some of the first groups, maybe the first group to play. And somebody just bogeyed, Bill. It was 50, right on the 50 mark, and now it's right on the 60 mark of players that. So somebody saved 10 guys. So they'll be playing on the weekend. They weren't going to be playing. So that's that has happened, and that's going to make a big difference. And go ahead, Charlie. Patrick Reed.
It really finished strong. He just finished birdie, birdie, bogey, birdie to finish 8 under. He's got to be one to be reckoned with, Bill, this this weekend. You know, he's got the experience of winning, and once he starts doing that, you know, he can do it. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Or Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, I don't know if we could ever have one quite like it, to be honest with you. With the quality of the leaderboard, it's fantastic.
Yeah. You don't remember one like this, Bill, with this this playing, everybody playing this well and this, you know, packed at the top?
Well, I think they said on TV this morning that they've never had a major tournament where the top three players in the world were tied after two rounds of a major. So that's... Just for starters, that's never happened, and that's what it is right now, I believe.
Wow, yeah.
You know,
with
Bill,
Rom, Thomas, and DJ.
Watching last week here in Houston, watching Dustin Johnson play, I mean, he came out of hibernation almost, and he had a bad round the first round, but then he just started hitting bullets. And if he had made any putts on the weekend, he could have won by 10 shots. But luckily, Carlos Ortiz was our winner, and Carlos Ortiz was one of the alumni from the Spirit Golf Association tournament. So it's another win. That's 651 wins for our alumni. So it was really exciting. And Bill, it was a good tournament.
Yeah, it was.
I watched it. I thought it went terrific, and just having 2,500 fans out there made a big difference. I thought and. I was very touched by Ortiz's emotion on the last green. You could see that it had great, great meaning to him.
Well, how about that? That's the first Mexican winner on the tour since 78, since Regalado.
Regalado.
I didn't compute that. I thought that was an incredible stat with Cesar Cernuto, by the way, being the other one.
And yeah, how about that? That is neat. And Charlie came bearing gifts today for me and Sean, our producer here, Bill. We got some Spirit gear. Did you get yours? You didn't get yours yet, did you?
You know, I didn't get mine yet. I'm sure it'll probably come today.
It's probably in the mail. No, you're going to get it. Don't worry about it, Bill. You're going to get it. All right, it's 21 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. And, Charlie, how about Insperity stepping up again this year?
Insperity is relentless in their pursuit of helping small businesses. And they really have the people that can help the HR part of a small business you know, problems or insurance. I mean, it's on and on and on, but it's just a vote of confidence from professionals that have been working for 30 years to perfect the way to consult and help. And in small businesses, it's just like a good player needs a good teacher. A good business needs an Insperity, because they can see things that you can't see from a different angle. So if you want to really grow your business moving forward, log on to Insperity.com and let them come and tell you what they can do for you and your business.
All right. That's Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a little Ben Hogan Golf has some new stuff going on. We'll talk to Scott White for a couple of minutes here on the show, and we will get back at it talking about the Masters here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Bringing in Scott White. He is the president and CEO of the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company, and he's joining us here. Ben Hogan Golf.com, BenHoganGolf.com. You can see all the beautiful irons and woods and everything else, all the accessories that they've got going on at Ben Hogan. Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. What's we got some new stuff going on this year. I see some combos.
Yeah, it's been an exciting year in terms of product launches. We've had quite a few, more than we expected with this COVID craziness. But we've got some great new blades, the Icon irons, and then we've married those up with our PTX Pro to make the combo set that you just talked about. And then some new hybrids and utility irons. So there's always something new happening at Ben Hogan.
Just awesome.
This is Charlie Epps, and one of the things that I've always found with hybrids is that they were too upright because they're, you know, can you bend your hybrids to get them a little flatter?
We can for sure. A couple of degrees probably at the most, but we spent a lot of time developing these new VKTR Plus hybrids, and I know a lot of people struggle, as you said, with them, and specifically for a right-handed player hitting them left. And so we've done everything we can to take that out of the club design. These are quite a bit different than most of the other hybrids that are on the market.
Your design team and the tradition of Mr. Hogan and what he did for the industry and the forged clubs, are most of your forgings, or what's the set makeup?
Yeah, I mean, every single club we make, from our drivers to our putters, as a matter of fact, are forged. We just think it's a better way to make a golf club versus investment casting. So it's kind of unusual. A lot of players have never even hit a forged putter, for example. But you know, all the irons and wedges, which are really our what we're best known for, and certainly what Mr. Hogan was best known for, our standard set makeup is 4 through pitching wedge, so it's a seven piece set.
And you've got long iron alternates. What's going on with this?
Yeah, you know, we just looked at the long end of the iron set. You know, most people really struggle with anything, you know, longer than a 4-iron. A lot of players struggle with even a 5-iron. So, you know, we just looked at that entire category and said, look, there has to be an alternative to hitting a long iron, you know, 3-iron, 4-iron, even a 5-iron. And we just found that there wasn't one answer. So we developed both the hybrids that I just spoke about and our new UI High utility clubs kind of in tandem, so that people can choose, you know, if they want to get rid of their 3-iron or their 4-iron, they can either choose a hybrid, or they can choose, you know, the utility iron, which looks more like a traditional iron, but is very different in how it plays. It's much, much easier to hit.
It's great to look at. I'm looking at it right now, the VKTR and hybrids, and just a beautiful, beautiful looking club. And when you're standing over it, that's awfully important. And especially when you're trying to hit, 180, 190 yard shot, and you got that club in your hand, you're going to feel good standing over it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the shot begins with confidence, as you said. And if you're looking down at something that you don't think you're going to hit well, you probably aren't going to hit it well. So both those clubs really, you know, from the get-go, from the time you pull it out of your bag, should instill some, good feeling and help you hit a better shot than you typically would.
Well, great stuff, man. I'm telling you, you got to get to the website, everybody, benhogangolf.com, if you're looking for and that alternative, too, and the alternative for the clubs. That combo set looks just awesome. So that's great stuff. That's new stuff going on at benhogangolf.com. That's Scott White, the president and CEO, with us here again on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Great talking to you again, Scott. We really appreciate it. And good best of luck with the new stuff you got going on.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Good talking to you guys again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Scott White right here on ESPN 97.5. That's my other station. Right here on the Sports Map Radio Network with the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, bringing Billy back in here. Talk a little what's going on at the Masters right now here. And, Bill, what a deal. I'm telling you this. That little CT Pond, he can go now. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this guy play before. But he can go, and he's hitting it long. He's not very big at all, this dude, and he's hitting it long. And then there's Abraham Answer, who has won, who is a player. This guy is a threat on the weekend. Now.
No, he's a proven great player. He played in the President's Cup and did himself very proud and impressed everybody. And
he'll be the trivia question of who was in the group when I caddied at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot this year.
He was
when I caddied for Mike Gilmore. He was a marker. Mike is a golf professional at Wingfoot. on Sunday, and Abraham Answer was the guy that was paired with Mike Gilmore.
Well, how'd he play?
You were impressed with what his game looked like up close and personal?
Not only his game, I was more impressed with him as a person and as a professional. I would say he's an ultimate grinder. I became a huge fan of him that day. Everything about him I liked, and I'm really rooting for him to have a great week. And I'd love to see him get into the fray on the back nine Sunday, Charlie, because he's a very, very gutty kid. He doesn't look as good as some of these other players, but you can't measure what's inside of somebody. And I think he's got all the inside stuff. I really do.
Well, he hit a shot on nine yesterday. He's in the pine straw right, and he's got to go under a limb and run it up to the green. And he just hit a beauty and got it up into the middle of the green. He didn't get all the way back to that hole. But it looked like a tough hole play, except there were a bunch of birdies on nine yesterday.
The green is not as
no
what it always is, that uphill lie.
I think they said on TV, guys, it's the easiest par four at the Masters this week. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, but that ball's
well, because,
not...
you know what, and Charlie and I were talking about it during the break, is that while the greens, you know, they look great and everything, I don't think it's the same as it is in the spring, Bill. We don't see those balls just running forever and getting away from guys.
And I think some of that has to do with the moisture on the greens. I think the speed-wise, they're probably pretty quick, but they're soft, so, and they're probably moist, so the ball's not quite running out. But I've seen quite a few putts, really, that have kind of gotten away from some players, and I still think they're fast enough that you have to be aware of a 15-foot downhill putt that you can't let it get away from you. So we're watching Tiger just finishing up here at 5-under. He had a lot of beautiful shots, and I think the golf has been stellar. But we haven't really seen Augusta bite back as much, that's for sure. So Oosthuizen made a very bad double bogey on 14, leaving it short of that green, Charlie, which you know is an absolute no-no. You just can't do it. It's just an inexcusable error.
One of the things that I think changed Augusta in November are the fairways and the tight lies that you have in April because of the Bermuda is still hanging around in November because of the type of winter they have. They don't spin the ball as much as they would off of those tight lies. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Bill?
I would agree with it because I played there last October and I thought the fairways on a scale of 1 to 10 might have been 6. And I didn't think you could spin the ball quite as much. But the greens weren't as soft as they were, you know, that rain that they had Thursday, that was a torrential downpour, and it changed everything about the course. I think it changed it dramatically. It's starting to dry out a little bit, it looks like, and they're calling for a nice afternoon and then 10 to 15 mile per hour winds tomorrow. So they can still put the pins in places where they can put the bite back in if that's what they choose to do.
Yeah. Well, aren't they pretty planned though? Because don't we see a lot of the same pins year to year on Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
The same Sunday pins.
Yeah, I mean
we know where Sunday pins are going to be.
Those pins are you know, the depending on the wind and they're scientifically placed every you know within 6 inches, you might say.
Right, because we see that same putt on 18 every.
But some of the players yesterday said that they've seen some pins that they've never seen before. Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't. You know, I've seen a couple maybe that are, you know, 6 feet different than you might have seen in the past. But as Charlie knows, 6 feet different on a green at Augusta National could be a big difference.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we figure 16 today, 16 going to be up top right. That pin up there, that's tough to get to and stay up there. So that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where those pins are. But we got a lot more to talk about here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Want to thank Scott White for joining us here. BenHoganGolf.com. Good stuff there. And we've got a lot more Masters talk for you with a couple of guys that know, have played, have been there, have caddied there, all that stuff. And oh, by the way, one of them, their dad won the Masters. So that's good. That's good stuff. We will continue the conversation on the other side here on the Triumphs Golf Hour. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity Inspiring Business Performance. There are 60 guys, 50 in ties, 60 right now that are even par, but there might be only 59 after 18. Jordan Spieth just hit it dead right into the trees, Bill. And we'll see whether or not.
Yeah, but Mike Weir just birdied number 8 to knock the evens out if he pars the last hole.
He didn't par the last hole.
He
didn't par the last hole.
Mike Weir, Charlie, is playing the ninth hole as we speak, if you look at your TV.
Well, but I'm looking at my computer, and it says that he bogeyed 9.
Oh, really?
He finished one over. That was 18. I stand corrected.
No.
You're right.
What are you talking about, Charlie? It's right on TV in front of you.
I'm not looking.
He's got his back to the TV.
I stand corrected, everybody listening to me. And Billy is just...
I'm trying to give him up-to-date, minute-to-minute stuff.
Good boy.
Charlie, you're on planet Pluto somewhere.
So if he pars 9, then we got
Morikawa out. He just drove it in the left rough on number 9, so that's a tough angle from there. So the even pars are sick to their stomach at this moment.
Right.
Because now it all depends on what Weir does.
Because of Mike Weir. Mike Weir has all of their destiny in his hands. Charles Schwartzel, former champ, Jordan Spieth, former champ, Bryson DeChambeau, Zach Johnson, Colin Morikawa, all sitting there waiting on Mike Weir. And if Mike Weir pars in...
Well, actually, it's just changed. They're now tied for 50th. So they're looking pretty good, actually, now. The even pars look pretty good. The only way they could get knocked out is if Spieth birdies 18, which it doesn't look like he will.
Nope.
Or Bayo birdies number 9. So the evens are right, looking okay now. So when you caddied or played, obviously, the missing the cut by a shot in a major was like the worst feeling you could possibly have.
That was Jordan last week. So it'll be nice if he makes this. It sure will. Now he's left on 18, so we'll find out whether or not.
Yeah, so he's probably not going to make birdie.
Yeah, no, he's not going to make birdie. But
although back at about 5 years ago, he probably would have shifted in.
Yeah, he's got to make par, so that's kind of a big deal. Ooh, just missed it anyway. All right, that was Tiger. So let's talk about the guys and what's going on here. As we mentioned, you never had 1, 2, and 3 at the top of the leaderboard at leading after 36 holes of a major. 1, 2, and 3, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, and Justin Thomas all up there. But there's a lot of... I'm telling you, Hideki Matsuyama is playing really nice golf. Patrick Cantlay.
He looks great. He's going to be a guy to contend with, I believe. I mean, but...
Justin Rose.
Yep.
Justin Rose is playing great. You got Phil. What about Phil playing the way he's playing this week, guys?
He's all over the park, and his determination and shot quality from... 100 yards in, and it's still one of the best in the world, Bill, and he just surprises me all the time that he can shoot numbers the way he plays.
Well, according to him, he played good this week. He said he left 8 to 10 shots out putting. He says one of his worst putting weeks he's ever had, and when I watched him on TV a little bit, I thought he drove the ball beautifully. He said that his putters cost him 8 to 10 shots. Now, he could be exaggerating a little bit, but according to him, he thought he was hitting the ball great. So he felt that if he could get his putter going, he could get into the fray. I think the problem with the guys, John, at 4, 5, 6 under, there's so many players ahead of them. And then you add to it the quality of players ahead of them. So they're all not going to part like the Red Sea like they did last year for Tiger, that's back 9.
That was
unbelievable.
No. But moving day today, you post a nice score. You post a 67, 68, in that neighborhood. And you're gonna and you there's you got a shot tomorrow, I think.
Bill, the year that Curtis started out with 80 and then he shot 65-65, was that correct?
I think 65-67, but we played with him when he shot 80 the first round.
So that
we were actually paired with him.
You didn't figure he'd be in contention after that, did you?
So here's what's going
on. Well, if the truth be known, he backhanded a few putts and he dogged a few, and I bet if you gave him some tooth serum, he might have said he lost that tournament on Thursday, as it turned out, more than he lost it on Sunday.
All right. Well, here's my pick, and you guys can pick after this.
All right.
McIlroy shoots 75. Nicklaus shot 74 when he won in 86. I think McIlroy's got to go like 65-65 to have a chance.
He played beautifully yesterday.
But he really impressed me, Bill, that he was so lost in the morning, and then he turns around and shoots 66 after that 75. I think that tells you a lot about the kid. And I just hope that he has a couple of really good rounds to see what can happen on Sunday afternoon.
And then his putt on 9, he had an easy putt on 9 that he just missed.
Yeah,
he shoots 65 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. But I can see him shooting 63 on if he gets it going, he can shoot 63 on Sunday.
Or Saturday.
Or Saturday,
that's Saturday. Right.
But both of them.
Yes. But like you say, Bill, there's so many great players ahead of him, and he's six back. Can he make up that much room?
And it's just a matter of what the other guys do, too. He can play good. And then, once again, the quality of play, you know, in the first 15 players, they're not all going to play bad. You know, I think that was an aberration, what happened last year, The quality of those four or five players spit in the bit last year on the back nine to me was beyond comprehension almost.
Yeah. So I was listening to Justin Thomas before the tournament started, and he said the difference, and it does seem like the fairways they're not the same, and the greens aren't the same. But he said the biggest difference for him was around the greens and chipping, because it was furrier than it normally is around the greens. And you don't have those tight lies where you can spin the ball as much. He says you're going to see a lot of balls popping up, and you're going to see a lot of balls rolling out on your chips, as opposed to what you can normally bite it. You can get those chips to bite and stop. He said he didn't think that's what he found in his practice rounds, that was going to be a little bit more difficult this week.
Well, you know, the rough is a little bit higher. We're watching Mike Weir right now. He meets, well, of course, if he makes par the way it looks now, he'll make it easy, maybe make it with a bogey. But Cabrillo is playing with him. And if Mike pars and the other guy makes birdie, then the evens are out. So there's still a lot of action going on here on the last hole. Weir just hit a fantastic shot. I don't know if you can see it on your screen.
We're watching it.
From the left rough. So the guys at even are rooting hard against this group. I got news for you.
Yeah, Cabrera Bayo is out there. Yeah, he can ruin things for people.
And he could.
Jordan Spieth has got to get up and down here if he's going to
make the cut. Yeah, here we go.
And he's left it short. He's left that way short. He's got to get that
in
now.
Boy,
he
just
cut. He missed the cut here last week by one.
He three-putted 15 for par, missed a six-footer 16 for birdie. And now he's going to maybe make bogey to miss the cut, boy. It's just when you're going bad, Charlie, it's just unbelievable how hard it is to turn it around, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. Last week when he was in Houston on Friday, I watched him from start to finish with his warm-up, and about every fifth shot, no matter what club, it went left. Every fifth shot, and then he stands up on the first tee, and it really requires a little fade. And I could see him setting up to hit a little fade and got a double cross, and then started bogey, you know, par bogey. You know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, and he started our tournament. He birdied three out of the first six, and then he went double bogey, 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 double bogey. I mean, it's just no rhyme or reason.
Well, you just heard everybody in the clubhouse with a giant relief as Cabrera Bay.
That was a terrible shot you hit, wasn't it?
That looked like one of my shots. Goodness gracious. That
golly,
was
that was an awful shot.
If he birdies that hole, if he birdies nine, he kicks out about 10 players, and instead he
but
flared.
A player of that caliber hitting a short iron that far offline, is you don't think, Charlie, even on the cut line, there's pressure in there?
Yeah.
Pressure in the locker room.
He's sitting on the cut line, and he doesn't make it. And just like Jordan doesn't make it, he's going home. So that looked like a small. You want to talk about a protective swing? That was not good. So Cabrera Bay, hey, everybody at even par is going to be safe now after Jordan and Cabrera Bay will come in. So that's the good news for those guys. All right, 50 past the hour. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity Inspiring Business Performance. We're going to take a quick break, and we will wrap it up on this Masters Saturday. Don't you go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. With Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's John Granato.
All right, Cabrera Bay. Don't know if he's going to get up and down. He's on the cut line right now, but he didn't eliminate all those guys. So the cut is at even par, and all those guys are going to get in. Jordan made his putt.
20-footer, huh?
Unbelievable.
How about that? Jordan made his putt, and so he's going to be playing on the weekend along with DeChambeau. Along with Finau, all these guys, Morikawa, Matthew Fitzpatrick, all at even par. So good stuff.
Zach.
But about our leaderboard, guys, this is as good as it gets. Along with Abraham Answer and Cameron Smith. And Cameron Smith can play now. Cameron Smith can go. He's at 9-under. But you got Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and John Rahm. Who separates themselves today, guys?
Who separates themselves?
I'm picking DJ. I think DJ's been hitting the ball great. He's leading the tournament without putting good, so I'm going to go with DJ.
DJ?
I'm going with Justin Thomas.
I thought you were going with Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. Well, that's a long shot.
Oh,
you
that's
know,
your long shot?
That's right. My long shot. But,
speaking of, when you're going to put a little on him, that long shot, like Billy was putting it on him last week at the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Did you
yeah.
do any good at the Breeders' Cup, Bill?
I did very poorly, actually.
You picked a bunch of slow ponies, Bill? Hey, you got to pick it up, Bill.
I had a lot of third-place finishes when I was betting winning place. How about this putt Matt Wallace just hit on the ninth green?
Yeah,
did you
was
see
terrible.
That?
That was terrible. Well,
beyond terrible, really.
Yeah, but and here's the deal is it looks like, you know, and that was the talk yesterday was, okay, it's dark. Do you want to putt now? Do you want to hit your shots out of the fairway now? What do you know, where do you lay off? And hitting that putt right now this morning, you know they rolled those greens this morning. Those greens right now are faster than they were yesterday afternoon. That nine is much faster than it was. And guess what? He left it short, and it comes straight back to him, which wouldn't have, might not have happened yesterday. Might not have happened yesterday. So
might not have, but it really was a terrible putt. That really, I don't think, was a consideration, Charlie, because that pin was a good 8 feet on top of that tier.
Yeah, he must
that
have.
Was really a bad putt.
Did he take a divot?
Yeah,
it could have been. The guy that caddy didn't take the head cover off the putter, maybe.
So, DJ's playing really well. I'll tell you what, Justin Thomas and John Rahm are playing really well, too, though. I mean, if we've got a battle, guys, with these guys up at the top of the leaderboard, with the Matsuyamas and the Reeds and the Justin Roses and the Oosthuizens and the and Kepkas. I mean, this is going to be – and Tiger. I mean, Tiger's a factor this weekend. We got us a wonderful tournament.
I wonder when they're going to start them, Charlie, because they got to get them going. They're going to have a hard time getting this round in.
Yeah, they got to get done today so they can get done
I bet
tomorrow.
All the players are on property, and the starting times will be coming out here and probably – within 10 minutes, and they'll go off both tees to try to accommodate getting. They're going to have to work hard to get this round in.
Yeah, then
with daylight saving.
Don't they have to give them about a half hour? Because these guys that are coming off are going to be like Mike Weir.
I would say that the starting times, they're making them up right now, but they can't make them up, John, until the play is completed. So I would think within 10 minutes they'll have the starting times. I would assume all the players are on property. getting ready to go.
Well, these guys are the last in, and they're going to be first out.
Yeah,
Jordan Spieth and Mike Weir and Cabrera Bayo, if he makes this, they're going to be the first out. So you got to give them a little bit of time.
Well, they're going 2T start, too.
Yeah, these guys will be the last out off number 10.
Yeah, they'll change that.
First in, last out.
So he's got to make this last in, first out.
Yeah, but it goes 1 through 9, then 10, and then 18 is the last, which is even par.
Right.
What was that, Charlie?
That's what they are. They're even par, and they're coming in last.
What was that, Charlie?
That the way they start.
1 through 9 and 18?
Well, the way they start them on 2 tees.
I get all that.
Okay.
I told you, these guys would be going last off 10. Right?
That's what I just said.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I don't know. You said 1 through 9 through 18. I didn't know what that. I've been around golf a long time, and I can't understand.
Well, I'll tell you this. I understand this. We're going to have a fun weekend watching this.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
Fun show, too, Charlie. You're so much fun.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We appreciate Bill giving him the business. We appreciate Scott White from Ben Hogan Golf. That's good stuff. And we appreciate – and Charlie – Let's go, Rory. I want that long shot to come in. Unlike Billy's long shots last weekend, we'll see if your long shot.
That's right. Come in. Get the spirit.
Easy now. Easy, boys. Easy.
Let's start. We're done. We appreciate you, Bill. Thanks for joining us as always. And thank you for listening. Y'all have a great, great weekend watching the Masters. And we'll talk.